looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you, you will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor, Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me?
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical engineer Frank and I got a great show. We're going to be talking about men's health. Yeah, it's a family issue, and June is Men's Health Month, so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to fit in what we missed last time, you know, dying from a broken heart out there. We're going to fix that. And we got some other stuff we could talk about if we get time, plus a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm seeking the Lord's face, and I'm hitting the knees. Hope you are, too, lifting this nation up in prayer, because we need his holy protection and direction. I did bring the devotional today, and today's devotional is from Matthew 28 and Psalms 100. It goes like this. I want you to be all mine, filled with the light of my presence. I gave everything for you by living as a man and then dying for sins and living again. Hold back nothing from me. Bring your most secret thoughts into the light of my love. Anything you bring to me, I transform and cleanse from darkness. And I know everything about you, far more than you know yourself. But I restrain my yearning to fix you, waiting instead for you to come to me for help. Imagine the divine restraint that requires, for I have all power in heaven and on earth. Seek my face with a teachable spirit. Come into my presence with thanksgiving, desiring to be transformed. Amen to that. I hope you're seeking the Lord's face and mind in time, because it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the Quacker, a new study links pesticide use to help fight the Zika virus in Florida to some health concerns and impacts. Yeah, they were just, you know, fumigating that state. To fight the Zika-carrying mosquitoes that they were told in Florida. Nation has been linked to defects in motor functions and babies that were born, according to the new study. So, you know, they just coated the place with fog fumigating chemicals, and uh-oh. University of Michigan has conducted this study, and they published their findings in a peer-reviewed journal article in the Environment International just this week. All right. Last but not least in the Quack Report, Switzerland is going to ban aluminum salts that you see in your deodorants because they cause cancer. Yep, Switzerland has got a new bill. They're going to pass it, or they did pass it in May, and it bans the ingredient entirely, aluminum salts in deodorants. They say more research is needed to see what role aluminum salts play in breast cancer. So while many have long suspected that there's this link that exists, and some studies have kind of, you know, suggested, you know, mice got cancer from it, Swiss scientists discovered last September that exposure to these deodorants that contain these salts triggers tumor growth. So most deodorants on the market do contain aluminum salts, which are highly effective at, you know, getting rid of body odor and sweat, but it locks in those toxins that are trying to get out. See, Lisa Merzone, who proposed the bill, said that the research was carried out at the University of Geneva, where the scientists held a significant doubt that the aluminum salts were safe. So a lot of studies have looked at salts, and, you know, maybe some of that not as conclusive. So these aluminum compounds that you get in your antiperspirants block your sweat glands, and those impurities build up and can migrate to breast tissue, creating what the scientists call estrogen-like effects. And you can get an estrogen induced tumor and get some breast cancer there. So, hey, if you're looking for some safe stuff, check out the powerherbs.com under their body care section. You'll find some aluminum-free salt antiperspirants, deodorants, and neat stuff there that won't put you at risk. And that wraps the Quack Report. Yeah, the address is thepowerherbs.com, by the way, if I didn't say that. Yep. Father's Day is coming up, too, this month, and this is Men's Health Month, and so don't forget to honor Dad out there, Papa. If you're looking for a sale, the folks at Apothecary Herbs went ahead and jumped in with the Father's Day sale this week, so you can see the discount code on the homepage, but it's FDAY17 for Father's Day, and you'll save 20% on your order of $50 or more, and that's good through the 18th, so take advantage of that. If you don't do the internet, don't worry, you can mention you want the discount when you call in to order. If you do write it on your order form. A lot of people have catalog out there. That's fine, too, so you can get the discount by mail. All right, men's health. It's a family issue because the media has made June the month to raise awareness for men's health. So June appears to be a media-driven marketing campaign for the healthcare system stressing prevention-type action regarding men's health. So men are urged by their healthcare establishment, you know, get into your doctor's office, get that checkup, you know, and take those recommended tests. So men are the least likely to see their doctor for prevention-type reasons. Hey, Frank, when's the last time you went to the doctor for prevention-type reasons? You know, paid the copay or paid the full fee just to see if he could find anything. When's the last time you did that? I don't think Frank ever did that. I'm going to be shocked if Frank did that. 50 years ago, he says. Oh, so when you were 6 or 5. Well, that's a pediatrician, dude. They don't do it then. Well, you know, if men go to the doctor, they're prompted to go by family or an employer, or if they're experiencing some serious symptoms. So this male aversion to seeing the doctor is really not just in the U.S. Men in other countries have the same aversion. And there's an international push to get men into their doctor's offices. So we're going to take a look at some alternative ways men can be proactive with their health without having to feel like, you know, they're being pressured. Here's a quote from Congressman Bill Richardson. He said this in 1994. He said, "Recognizing and preventing men's health problems is not just a man's issue, because it is its impact on wives, mothers, daughters, and sisters. Men's health is truly a family issue." Well, anybody's health is a family issue, really. Frank says he doesn't call it aversion to the doctor's office. He calls it self-defense. Okay. Thank you, Frank, for your input there. I know there's probably some guys out there that agree with you. But, you know, what we're seeing in the media with all these advertising, and it's a push. They're hunting male patients is what they're doing. So this international media hunt for adult male patients is spanning the globe. Now, other countries are being hit with the media hype for men to see the doctor now. See the doctor now before it's too late is the message. So countries like Denmark, Ireland, Scotland, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Italy, Spain, Mexico, Belgium, and Canada, as well as the Netherlands. These are just a few of the countries that are getting swamped with healthcare advertising. So the drive for men's health is to stop men from making excuses and get examined. And some doctors have taken this message to the road, literally, with a coast-to-coast campaign, making city stops with workshops and radio interviews. And they are trying to reach men with these analogies such as, you know, car maintenance and, you know, the human body needs maintenance, so, you know, get in to see your doctor. So, but the issues that the doctors are not seeing is that patients, male patients, don't like the treatment options medicine offers should a problem actually exist. So modern medicine offers these risky drug-induced symptom management protocols and no cures. And, you know, who wants that? Well, it's white coat avoidance to the max. That's what it is for you guys out there. And I understand why anyone would want to avoid going to the doctor. So according to Dr. Eric Klein, he says 60% of men don't go see their doctor because he feels they are disinterested in their own health. He also reports that if men go to the doctor, it's because 20% are pressured by their wives to go. The rest go if there is a serious symptom or if they're required by their employer to go. Now, John Hopkins Medicine states that the U.S. is in a crisis with regards to men's health, and it is negatively affecting communities. That's what they're saying. And they state that aside from diabetes and blood pressure and prostate health issues, that men are overweight and they suffer from sexual health concerns. So men in particular state they don't like going to the doctor. And they don't like going to the doctor because of the following reasons. I'm too busy. I don't have a doctor. I don't have insurance. I don't want to spend the time and the money. There's nothing wrong with me. Why go? I don't want to waste the doctor's time. I don't like uncomfortable exams. Now, healthcare labels that probophobia. They also say they're afraid of what the doctor may find, and they don't like the healthcare treatments. So now the psychologists, they're weighing in on the subject, and they think it is the media that's pounding the message of masculinity and how vulnerable men can be. So going to the doctor, they say, is like asking for help, and this goes against gender norms. I don't know. Frank, would you agree with that? It's kind of like stopping and asking for directions. You guys don't like doing that, right? I know where I am. Well, of course, you know, with all the devices now, I mean, you absolutely have no excuse not to know where you are, right? Okay, well, so the psychologists are saying that, you know, the gender norms, they say this explains why men tend to be more casual about their health issues. So men don't feel in control when at the doctor's office. And since they don't frequent the doctor's office, they are being told what they should do by someone they're not comfortable with. Now, annual checkups for men are not part of their routine. So getting men to go get their blood pressure checked and screen for diabetes, cholesterol, and colorectal cancer is not that easy. So this is why healthcare really is, you know, pouring a lot of money into the print and TV ads, as well as the mobile apps and the toolkits to help motivate men any way they can to go see the doctor. And using guilt is not out of the question. A lot of the ads kind of have that guilt factor in there. I don't know. Does any of those TV ads with guilt work on you, Frank? I look at them and I go, right, okay. It doesn't work for me. I don't think it works for most guys either. Now, Frank says, no, I disagree. The doctors are liars and murderers. Oh, Frank, do be frank with us here. And the cost far too much for ineffective treatment. That does not more harm than good. Not going to the doctor, the same reason I don't drink Drano. Well, thank you, Frank, for that. Okay. Well, you know, I think there might be some people out there that share your sentiment there, Frank. Now, here is Dr. William Rhodes. He's a geriatric physician at Lutheran General Hospital in Illinois. He said, men stop seeing the doctor after their pediatrician and return only when they're sick. Well, I tend to agree with that. Well, you know, the tougher they are, the harder it is to get them to see the doctor, apparently. In 2016, Rutgers University did a study to get a better grasp why men avoid the doctor and how medicine could, you know, convince them to see the doctor. So the, quote, fear message medicine has projected to men is that, you know, you're going to die an average of 5 years earlier than women, and you should go see your doctor right away. Well, this advertising has not been successful. It's not been motivating them. So what their study revealed is if men go to the doctor, they tend to select a male physician. And this is understandable, you know, because of the prostate exam. But there are more detailed reasons why men don't go to see the doctor. They reported in their study, which listed masculinity beliefs. In other words, you know, men should be tough and brave and self-reliant and don't complain, that kind of thing. They also found that men do not want to appear weak and symptoms make them feel dependent on others. They said also the tougher men are less honest when reporting health problems. So men are less likely than women to be honest with their doctor about their symptoms. And ironically, men were more likely to share symptoms with female doctors without feeling a loss of status. Now, the more masculine ones preferred a male physician and were less likely to discuss symptoms. And, of course, they also found the same tendencies with female patients that don't want to discuss symptoms if they thought that they should be brave and more self-reliant. Frank weighs in, says maybe men can read and see the 200,000 accidental medical deaths a year. Yeah, I think that may be on the back of their mind, right? Well, the problem the medical establishment has in getting more men into their office is really a cultural one. Gearing the ad campaigns to guilting men into going is really not going to have a positive impact. So this study was published in the Journal of Health Psychology, and in the UK, the University of Cambridge did a similar study, Why Men Don't See the Doctor. In the UK, you know, they have that government healthcare system, so the wait time to see your doctor is longer than usual. So their study found that men don't want to waste the doctor's time and prevent the really sick people from getting an appointment. Well, you should go figure, you know, because according to the U.S. Census, we have about 87 million adult males in the U.S. So the national cost to visit a general practitioner for a checkup is about $200. Now, if you have medical insurance, the copay would be around $49. And so the medical establishment is really looking at a minimum of over $174 million in lost revenue. And men know that if a problem is detected, that it's going to mean a minimum of 2 visits a year to the doctor. Yep. No news is good news, eh? My grandparents used to say that. I didn't get it until I got older. Right? Well, you know, and then people are doing a lot of stuff online. In 2012, the University of California confirmed what, you know, I've kind of known for a while, and that is that more men are consulting the internet with regard to health issues. So women are doing the online searching as well, and they're often looking up information for their spouse. And men will typically take the stance of trust but verify, especially if medical treatments are recommended to them. So now the California study, you know, stated that patients were turning to researching their treatment options online, and patients seemed to be arming themselves with information. And this is kind of rubbing some physicians the wrong way, and they kind of become a bit defensive. So the study found that 70% of patients searched the internet for information and were planning on asking their doctor questions, and about 40% print the material off, take it with them to the appointment. So the study was published in the 2012 Journal of Health Communications, and according to Dr. Hu at the University of California, he says the internet has become a mainstream source of information about health and other issues, and many people go online to get information when they anticipate a challenge in their life. Patients today seem to be very active health information seekers, making use of both traditional and the new media, end of quote. Well, and then some people are very anxious. I call it spouse anxiety, because I get calls from women who are very concerned about their husband's health, and wives are anxious that the health problem could become a financial burden or even make them a widow. I do get calls from the husbands regarding their wives. However, the majority involve the wives calling. So I tell them, you know, I can't give medical advice, but I can tell you what I would do if I were you and offer additional information that you may find helpful. I've worked in the medical establishment, and one thing I realized is that often fear is used to motivate patients. So in the last 2 weeks, I learned of 2 cases that were misdiagnosed, and the patients were exposed to fear to make treatment decisions. So I won't go into all the details, but briefly, here's what occurred. In the first case, it was a 40-year-old man in Minnesota. He experienced some abdominal pain. He went to the ER. After some tests, he was told that he had fecal matter behind his liver, indicating his colon had ruptured. So they recommended emergency surgery to remove his colon and install a stoma with a bag. He turned down the surgery, and he was successfully treated with a brief course of anti-inflammatory and antibacterial medicines, and later he learned that the surgery was based solely on an assumption. Uh-huh. Well, he kept his body parts. The second case was a 50-year-old man that went to the ER in February with chest pains. This guy in Ohio, he was told he had pneumonia, so they gave him antibiotics and sent him home. In May, the man's legs swelled up to his knees, and he could hardly breathe. The second trip to the ER showed the man actually was suffering from congestive heart failure. So there's this huge difference between fluid in the lungs, which mean pneumonia, and fluid around the heart, which means congestive heart failure. And this man learned the hard way that a decade of blood pressure drugs creates a weak cardio system that leads to the collapse. So, so you got to be careful out there. And, you know, these two cases really remind us why malpractice insurance is expensive. Underwriters understand that life-threatening and life-altering mistakes happen in medicine. So having worked in medicine, I've witnessed that doctor mistakes are often blamed on the nursing staff. Now, personally, I would not worry about offending a doctor with questions and information you discovered on the internet, because knowledge is power, so never stop digging. Right, Frank? I think you agree. Arm yourself. So whenever you think about treatments and health and all this, improving your health or fixing a problem, think strengthening treatments, okay? Because health is a family issue, no matter who's involved. So the problem is we've been conditioned to accept drugs for symptom management and surgery, and we're told there's nothing else. But a compassionate creator did not create a healthcare system with toxic drugs and invasive surgery. There is a time and a place for that, and that's trauma. But for preventative healthcare issues, no. So, you know, God uses, nutrition to strengthen your system and to heal itself. So about 50% of the U.S. refuses to trust that, and 40% is busy learning how to do that. And the remaining 10% are mixing drugs and natural therapies and discovering that doesn't work. And why doesn't it work? Well, drugs are toxic, and toxins work against nutrients. So when you use drugs and medicinal herbs, well, you negate any benefit. And so toxins create weakness. Nutrients strengthen a system. They're working against one another, so you don't want to use them together. So if you do go to the doctor and get a diagnosis, you can certainly research your options. Okay, hopefully you go with the strengthening options. So if you want to learn more, you have power, and the sooner you learn to achieve and activate that power, the better off you're going to be. So nutrition is prevention. So if there is imbalance, medicinal herbs offer nutrition for the body to correct it. So the longer you wait, the deeper the imbalance becomes, and it invites disease. So don't put it off. So herbs are great for maintenance because the body will use only what it needs without any toxicity. And God is the only one that can take credit for that perfect chemistry. So call Apothecary Herbs for their free catalog. They have a product catalog on immune-boosting herb formulas, organ-cleansing herb formulas, herb pandemic kits, prostate kits, kidney bladder kits, heart and diabetic herbs, you know, and a whole lot more, basically. You can give them a call. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Outside the U.S. is 704-885-0277. 704-885-0277 is the international line. Of course, the web address, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. So take the power back. Also, take advantage of the Father's Day special. You'll save 20% on orders of $50 or more through Father's Day. And the discount code for the cart is FDAY17. It's on the homepage if you forget that. Or you can just call and ask for the discount. It's time for a break. We'll be right back. Baby, please don't ever make her blue. Just tell her that you love her. Make sure you're thinking of her in everything you say and do. Take good care of my baby. Now don't you ever make her cry. Just let your love surround her. Paint a rainbow all around her. Don't let her see a cloudy sky.
Pumping life into the original medicine. herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture and Tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Gonna jump into our next segment. We're gonna talk about, you know, are you dying from a broken heart? You know, is it possible, you know, to die from, you know, that question's been answered, I think, by Hollywood, in lots of movies. However, is it scientifically possible to die from a broken heart or extreme sadness or loneliness? Well, during holiday seasons, loneliness is felt even more acutely. Statistics show doctors treat more patients for depression in the fall and winter months that are north of the equator. However, some of these cases are due to what is called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. So when the days get shorter in the fall, there's less sunlight, which affects our mood. However, what does the medical science say about dying from a broken heart? So we're going to check it out. Well, let's look at that seasonal depression. So the next time fall rolls around, remember this. So you want to take a look at the seasonal depression, if it's affecting you. About 10% of the U.S. population experiences that seasonal affective disorder, where they feel a little gloomy when the days start to get shorter. So the planet is spinning into the fall and winter solstice, and the daylight exposure is less intense and shorter in duration, and this affects our mood. And it seems to affect females more than males, and it affects it seems to materialize during the ages of your 20s and 30s. Okay, so if you're sensitive to that, that's usually when you're going to get it. However, teenagers can also get the seasonal affective disorder. Now, statistics show that there are fewer cases of SAD or seasonal affective disorder near the equator. So the symptoms are similar to clinical depression. So you've got to be careful when you go to your doctor, make sure they diagnose you properly. So you may have a carbohydrate craving at this time. You may have increased appetite or a weight gain, excessive sleepiness and being lethargic, as well as having maybe some anxiety or irritability. You may tend to be more socially withdrawn during this time, and you may have a decrease in your sex drive, and also other moods have changed. So make sure, you know, you get the right diagnosis, that you're not clinically depressed, that you just have seasonal affective disorder. So let's compare, though, the two, the clinically depressed, and let's even look at heart disease and dying from a broken heart. Let's see what the similarities are. So there is such a thing, though, in medicine called broken heart syndrome. According to the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, there's a condition that medicine calls broken heart syndrome, which affects more women than men. And the U.S. Heart Association has recently recognized the syndrome as a legitimate heart problem. So according to science, broken heart syndrome develops after experiencing extreme emotional or physical stress that can severely damage the heart muscle, even if the stress event was short-term. So the official diagnosis of broken heart syndrome is stress-induced cardiomyopathy. So the risk of broken heart syndrome is stress-induced, and the risk of the condition being misdiagnosed is pretty high because there's these crossover symptoms that are similar to things like having a heart attack or cardiac arrest. Now, the difference is the symptoms of broken heart syndrome are not due to blocked heart arteries, and as you typically see in heart attacks. And the positive side of the broken heart syndrome is that patients can have quick recoveries if they're relatively healthy. They can have quick recoveries. Well, let's look at the symptoms and the cause, because according to the American Heart Association, broken heart syndrome is a reaction to a surge of stress, which releases hormones. So an event such as a death, maybe a divorce, can cause this broken heart syndrome. Broken heart syndrome can even occur when the stress is excitement-related, such as when someone wins the lottery or is riding a roller coaster or bungee jumping. So what are the physical signs of broken heart syndrome if there is no history of heart disease? Well, here's the list. Your heart may temporarily enlarge, but the heart does not pump blood well. So the heart weakens. You can get what is called a cardiac shock. And if you don't get this corrected, it could be fatal. Your heart may encounter more forceful contractions or irregular beating caused arrhythmias. Heart and chest pains like angina, shortness of breath, heart muscle damage that is short-term because the heart can repair itself, and short recovery time in just a few weeks, as well as low repeat of occurrence and rare instances of death with broken heart syndrome. Now, with the coronary heart disease, especially in women, women are fast catching up to the men in this area. So in the U.S. alone, 1 in 4 women develop heart disease, and medicine has published many research papers on the cause of heart disease. And most of them, they say it's the buildup of the plaque in the inner walls of the coronary artery, which deliver oxygen blood to the heart. So now the plaque is a byproduct, they say, of lifestyle, consists of fat and cholesterol and calcium and some additional substances which circulate in your blood. And if the plaque hardens, it can cause heart pain called angina. So blood clots are also a risk if the plaque ruptures, causing a heart attack. Now, women typically develop coronary heart disease on average about 10 years later than men do, but is now the number one killer for women. So in the 2016 issue of the Science Daily in November, the Heart Association reported that women over the age of 50 who ate high-protein diets from meat were at a higher risk of heart disease and heart failure. So according to their study, there seems to be more protection when the diet is rich in vegetable protein rather than animal protein. So American Heart Association says that there are established ties between depression, mental health, and heart disease. So there's, you know, and we could probably look at lifestyle to see a, you know, a cross correlation to that. So you're in control, though. You're in more control than you think with your lifestyle, controlling the diet, getting more vegetable protein rather than meat protein. And regarding the seasonal affective disorder, where you just get the mood change because the light is changing in the fall and winter, I usually just flood the house with spectrum light bulbs. You can get them at the hardware store. They have this little light powder blue coating on them, and it simulates sunlight. And you can put them in your office, and you can perk up your mood. You won't be sad anymore. So it's called broad spectrum light bulbs, and you can find them everywhere. Quick fix. You don't have to be on antidepressants. You don't have to eat your way through the holidays. Just get you some light bulbs, okay? But if you're looking for some cardio strengtheners, if you want to avoid the hypertension, if you need some real plant-based calcium and not animal fat calcium, then check out thepowerherbs.com. They have the cardio section. They have the anxiety, depression, panic attack section if you need some herbs instead of drugs. There are ways to deal with things that are less toxic and less risky and less expensive. So you can check it out at thepowerherbs.com, but you can definitely give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs, because they're the professional strength grade that you don't get in stores. So they do sell direct, so check that out. All right, we've got a few minutes, so we're going to shift gears, and we're going to talk about wheat, gluten intolerance. Anybody out there can't have wheat, celiac disease? Well, in August of 2013, in the issue of Mother Earth News, I don't know if you ever read that magazine, there was a reader feedback note to the editor that was regarding her long-term wheat intolerance issue until she went to Europe. She said she was traveling in Europe, and she was wheat intolerant, and she was interested in why she could eat the wheat over there and not have the gluten intolerance that she does here in the United States. So is it really a gluten allergy, or is it a geographical thing? She didn't understand why that was. She could have croissants. She could have bread. She could have everything over there, and she didn't have the discomfort when she ate it. So what was the difference? What's the European wheat all about? Well, According to Carolyn, who wrote in to the editor at Mother Earth News, she had difficulty eating any U.S. wheat products. If she ate anything with wheat in it, she would experience gastrointestinal distress. And so Carolyn visited Hungary, and she gave into the temptation of having some of their crusty bread, knowing that she'd pay the price later. But she says, I didn't have any distress later. No distress whatsoever. So then when they went over to France, she had some croissants, same thing. So in her European travel, she continued to try. She had pizza, croissants, pretzels, cake, no digestive discomfort at all. And she didn't have any negative symptoms when she ate any of the wheat while she was in Europe. And she actually felt healthier, she said. So, you know, people experience different things, and they're searching on the internet to find out, you know, what's up with that? Gluten intolerant or American go overseas and eat her way through the country with, you know, pasta and bread, and what gives? Well, yeah, what gives? Well, it's the U.S. wheat. It's not the same as what they have over in Europe. So, the U.S. is growing a different type of wheat. The ancient wheat species was either spelt, emmer, or icorn, and they're usually not cultivated anymore by modern agriculture. And there are about six classes of wheat and hundreds of varieties, and most of the wheat in the U.S. is sown in the fall and harvested in the spring, winter and summer wheat. So the modern wheat production is grown in cooler climates and planted in the fall to become our grain crop. About 75% of the wheat that is grown in the United States is the winter wheat variety, and it's a product that contains a very high percentage of gluten. It is cultivated to be used to make bread and cake. So the hardest wheat that's cultivated is durum, and it's used to make your macaroni and spaghetti and pasta noodles. The softer, paler wheat varieties are more starchy and are used for flour to make pie crusts and biscuits and other breakfast foods. So when wheat is milled and the residue, the bran, and other plant parts is used to make livestock feed. So wheat grain is also used also to make, of course, whiskey and beer. So, you know, the recruits that joined the U.S. Air Force, they have to give up a sample of their blood when they do that. And Dr. Joseph Murray, he's a gastroenterologist at Mayo Clinic, he happened to notice that blood samples from the 1950 recruits showed that 1 in 700 of them had celiac disease, and he thought it was an autoimmune disease affected, you know, affects one, you know, person that eats gluten, and so he just thought it was that. But Dr. Murray knew that it really couldn't be a genetic disorder, as we are told it is, because he says, quote, human genes haven't changed that much, so there it has to be something pervasive in the environment that is making this disease more common, end of quote. So Dr. Murray published a study in 2009 in the Journal of Gastroenterology. According to his research, it begs us to ask, is the United States wheat being cultivated and processed differently using and causing us to have these reactions, the disease, you know, digestive problems, gluten intolerance? So have the scientists bred the wheat variety and magnified the gluten content, which is creating this health problem known as gluten intolerance? Well, if folks with gluten intolerance eat ancient wheat varieties, do they still have the gastrointestinal problems they call celiac disease? Well, apparently not. In one generation, the wheat source in the United States actually was changed. So it was right after World War II, they changed the wheat to make it fluffier, more glutinous. So the European countries have rejected the genetically modified grains of wheat, and they have found some GMO contamination in wheat, and they're testing all their sources. So, you know, the Europeans are, like, so anti-GMO, and that's a good thing. So the big contrast regarding wheat that's grown in the U.S. and wheat that's grown in Europe is that Europe has just one or two classes of wheat, and the class is determined by the variety characteristics of the wheat. and how it's milled. So if you visit, let's say, a mill in Yorkshire in the UK, you can ask the people who work at the mill about grinding the wheat, what makes their wheat different from ours in the United States. And they're going to tell you the European wheat berry is softer than the U.S. hard wheat variety, which is believed to be influenced by climate. They also grind their wheat into what is called a whole meal, which is tightly controlled whole wheat flour, which is has nothing added or removed from it. So what does this mean in comparison to the U.S. wheat flour? Well, whole meal is handled differently. It is heavier. It is designed by the millers to get around the bread and flour regulations, because whole meal is harder to manage because it contains all of the grain, making it heavier to deal with. So this type of flour is full of grain oils, and it has to be frozen after it's processed or the oils can go rancid. And by the way, those oils are what keep your heart healthy. That's right. And in the United States, they remove all those oils because they want to extend the shelf life of bread products. But that's what your heart's been missing, is all those wonderful nutrient oils in whole grains. So less than 100 years ago, the wheat in America was like the flour that they are milling in the UK. It had less gluten, more oils, and nutrition. So now before 1870, the United States used softer wheat with less protein and gluten, and then the harder spring wheat variety with more gluten from the Central Europe arrived in the United States, and Americans loved this gluten-rich grain because it made for fluffier baked goods. So supply and demand changed the variety of wheat grain that we grow in the U.S. So the white processed flour was more expensive at first and became a status symbol in the U.S. And in the 1900s, new farming and milling technology, along with mass transportation, helped to bring down the cost of white flour. So breakfast cereal did not exist before 1890. And by 1920, cream of wheat was on everyone's breakfast table. And an interesting find is a study done in 1966, and it was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, which showed a correlation globally between the increase in gluten-rich wheat consumed and an increase in the number of schizophrenia. And I always thought schizophrenia was a nutritional issue. It's not genetic. So wheat consumption and hospital admissions for schizophrenia during World War II was the title of that journal article. So currently, wheat is the most cultivated crop worldwide. And by 1980, bakers discovered how to make their products ultra fluffy by adding additional gluten called vital wheat gluten. So gluten is used as meat substitutes in vegetarian entrees, and when we made wheat to dominate food sources, we became less tolerant of the modified wheat. So we look at the gluten intolerant folks as a minority, and that something must be wrong with them, when in fact, the human body is not designed to ingest mega amounts of refined wheat, usually accompanied with a lot of refined sugar. So this is causing ill health. Hello. Now, in 1992, the USDA food pyramid assigned a large chunk of the American diet to wheat products. And by 2005, the pyramid changed, and it was called the My Pyramid, restructuring the nutritional guideline to make the vegetable category almost equal to the wheat category. So more, you know, less whole grains, but, you know, more fiber. So folks with gluten intolerance who have experienced European wheat with no gastrointestinal problems have learned to import the wheat from overseas, and they make their own breads. They feel better, they live healthier lives, and they stay out of the doctor's office. They also have a stronger and healthier immune system. So Americans, they consume too much wheat, dairy, and sugar, they have the highest rates of heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. So Americans can change all that without the AMA, physician, without the white coat, without an exam, without pharmaceutical drugs, without medical insurance and co-pays, lifestyle change. That's it. You got that power right now. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, if you don't have a gluten issue, you can also take advantage of herbs that are designed to give you lots of energy, which have no hint of gluten. So when you look at like the wheatgrass products out there, you see a lot of that. It's real popular. Wheatgrass has no gluten compared to wheat berry. It's grass without the wheat berry, so there's no gluten there. So you can tap into that nutritional power if you want some wheatgrass and not worry about any gluten. You can avoid that discomfort. So if you're interested in checking out the wheatgrass that the folks at Apothecary Herbs put in their vitamin mineral mix called Body Foundation Food Mix, you can check it out at thepowerherbs.com. That mix is powdered. It's all organic, certified organic plants, which contain your minerals, your vitamins, amino acids, plant proteins, tannic acids, tannins, peptides, all that nutrition, you know, God designed that so perfect together. And you can throw that in a smoothie or orange juice, whatever rocks your boat, and just, you know, zoom up on the nutrition each day that you may be missing in your diet. So very affordable, comes in 16 and 32 ounce, one of the most popular products they have there at thepowerherbs.com. So take advantage of Father's Day. Get your dad some of that, you know. If he needs a little energy, check that out. Zoom the energy because it's water-soluble and doesn't need to be digested like a bunch of pills in the system in 60 seconds, and you are feeling amazing. By the way, people that have blood work done after they try the body food mix, their blood work is amazing. I get reports all the time from people all over the world. My dad just had his blood work, and it was amazing. Thank you. Yeah, a little nutrition goes a long way. The body responds to organic substances that are whole food. They're balanced. There's nothing removed from it, not processed out of it. And that's the big difference, and I'm trying to get people to realize that. You know, if you go into Target and GNC and Walmart and other places, and you're picking these bottles of supplements off the shelf, you got to know these aren't whole food supplements. These are isolated nutrients, and some of them are petrochemical wannabe vitamins. They're not even the real thing. So when you have isolated, they're not going to work like the real whole food is. So read your labels. Your nutritional panel may say, hey, look, folate from broccoli. That's all right. But it's isolated folate to standardize the vitamin supplement, and it's not the same. Because when you look at your nutrients, they have buffer alkaloids and other enzymes that go with them so the body can uptake and utilize them. So, for instance, calcium, your body's not going to get any good thing out of calcium without boron and magnesium with it. And it has to be in a 2-to-1 ratio, or you can just forget it. So this is why we have such bone problems and arthritic problems all over the place, and people are eating all this dairy, milk, cheese, 10 times the concentration of milk, by the way, yogurt, ice cream, string cheese, you name it. And they still got bone problems because it's not the right chemistry. Now, I tell people, go, well, I don't, yeah. I say, well, hold on a second. What does the cow eat? Eats grass, big bones, strong animal, I would say. And he's getting his calcium from grass. Mm-hmm. He is. Or she is. So check out thepowerherbs.com. Get you some wheatgrass in the Body Foundation food mix. And if you need a little calcium lift, they have a liquid calcium plant formula. So check that out. That's interesting. In 3 or 4 months, you're good to go. You don't have to stay on this stuff forever. When it's real nutrition, power up, and you don't have to take it the rest of your life. That's the difference. These aren't lifelong things. Nutrition is, you know, you try to get the diet going, but if you got a supplement once in a while, then you do that. But it's not like drugs that manage your disease every day of your life. So that be the difference. So check out thepowerherbs.com. Give them a call, 866-229-3663. Get a catalog. It's free, 866-229-3663. If you're on the website, do sign up for the free newsletters. be empowered each week. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.